You've discovered the place where life imitates art and art imitates life. Stop fighting the man and get ready to Dave Against the Machine.
Really cool podcast this week.
Episode 43, right?
43, I think right. So. We're not even from the computer here.
No.
But we are at the Silverton. Hey, hold on a second. Watch this. Come here.
Okay. Well, we can separate, actually.
We can do it now.
Stick it in there and see.
We're at the Silverton right now, and we're doing the podcast.
While candidates are still doing their candidates.
So this speeches. Actually might be in two acts. So this is almost like This American Life level podcast.
Oh, we're going to like stop it and record later too?
Yeah, so we'll get a full recap on where we are right now.
Right.
And then we pick it from there. So I just want to get right into this right now.
Go.
Chris Dyer just gave an awesome speech.
I did my best.
So this is the part where I hit pause.
Because they gave us only a minute, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So this is where I hit pause and then I play it for you.
Insert speech.
Yeah, so here it is right here.
In Congressional District 3, Chris Dyer.
Hi, my name is Chris Dyer. I'm running in Congressional District 3. To some of you, I'm committing a sin. I'm running against an incumbent Republican.
Right.
But I think the bigger sin is to let that incumbent Republican go without a challenger when he's let our Tea Party down. He doesn't see one bill that kills liberty that he doesn't like. Joe Heck votes with the money. It's the truth. You can look it up online.
Okay, so how cool is that?
I gave that speech directly to the Eagle guy.
I know. You were talking back and forth.
Directly to him. He was shaking his head and going, no, no.
You're like, it's a sin. Yeah, well, it's a sin.
Well, he started it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to finish it.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
No, it's perfect. In fact, there was a lot of buildup to this. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
But some people, a lot of people, meaning some directly, asked me today, Chris is speaking tonight, right? Now, here's the thing, too. I want to bring this up because they listened to the podcast last week.
Right.
And one of our friends told someone else that you had a chance to speak at the state convention and you passed up on it. Well, no one spoke at the state convention.
Right. Yeah, and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't
you weren't
think
there. Everyone got that story.
I guess there would have been speaking opportunities.
There were no speaking opportunities.
No, I mean to speak to people in small groups.
Oh, speak to people. Yeah. But you kind of like filter out and dilute a lot of your votes because not everybody's in your congressional district.
True.
Like yourself.
Oh, yeah. If I was up there, there wouldn't be very many CD3 people.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, we're right here in their neighborhood.
Yeah, I know.
There's Richard. There's Michael McDonald.
Hey, Michael McDonald.
What's happening?
How are we doing?
Testing out our technology to see if we can go on the road.
It's like it's stereo, so you got the mashup.
Well, that's cool. We can sync them together, and then we have both.
Because the first one we did, his didn't pick up where the, so we had to do it again, but only with this audio. So at least we have a backup to the audio. If it's synced, it sounds even better.
Do you feel that smell of charcoal now?
No, I smell cigarettes.
Charcoal cigarettes.
This is a smoking area.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. There were no candidate speaking opportunities at the state convention, were
no,
there?
No.
Okay, then that's just people were asking me like, saying, "Oh, Chris Dyer missed a good opportunity." But like, no, I don't think anyone spoke.
No one smoked.
I know.
No one smoked.
Yeah. Right. We're on the back patio for those trying to figure this out.
Smoke's coming
over
there.
I know.
Yeah, the candidate speeches got lost in that 4 hours of nothing.
Yeah. Right. 4 hours. I could say 14 hours.
The dead zone. Yeah.
Yeah. What's funny too is like we're just saying if you watch the playback on the video there's 14 hours of me sitting there playing Angry Birds and every other game.
He's on Ustream like for hours on end. I would just check in on the convention like, "Hey, let's see what's going on," but it was cool
not
because
my speech, right?
No, of course not. The guy
doing
the camera.
I take Instagram photos. Actually, I'm gonna increase sepia tone on this. All right.
The one time he wasn't there, the guy with the camera was in the room because he went right to the front of the line to get his ballots and voted immediately. Got back to the room so I could hear the committeeman vote numbers before he knew them.
Yeah.
So I got
so he's
send
texting
them to
me,
him.
And then there's Bob List standing next to me as I said, "Oh, looks like Bob List just lost." And he kind of frozen, looked around on that one.
He had to get that news from him.
Yeah, so that's technology nowadays. It carries over. So.
I'll tell you, you have to applaud the women, the men and women that were doing the count room.
Oh, yeah.
At 3:30 in the morning.
Up until like 7,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, basically that was the reason why like I called recess, because it was like, I heard it was going to take 8 hours, and we can't end the convention until we...
That's right, you approached the microphone. You were that guy.
Yeah,
I'm the guy that knows parliamentary procedure.
Thank you for my 4 hours of sleep, Richard.
Well, you totally got 8 hours of sleep, don't lie.
Yeah, it was a good 8 hours.
It was good. It's better than my no hours of sleep.
Yeah, we didn't get any sleep. I can tell you, he did one of the greatest jobs I've ever seen. We were working hard. We didn't get any sleep. We were back and forth with both camps, and you talk about a guy who put his heart and soul into it. Richard was there. I mean, we definitely earned our keep up there.
Well, that's what I want to ask a little bit about the behind the scenes too. It was obvious unity was there without having to say the unity word in front of everyone. And what did it take in order just to have that back and forth between the campaigns? It was obviously a Ron
Lauer
Paul
just
thing.
Walked by, he didn't say hi.
But you got Carl up there, and then you got Sarah. What's her last name?
Nelson.
Something like that? I don't know.
That tells you a lot.
Yeah.
I can tell you, both of them did a great job. And like I said, Richard, I tell you firsthand, because we started on this Thursday. Thursday, we were trying to, you know, working through, make sure we had a good convention. I mean, depressed, really didn't like to write about it. But if you look at it, it wasn't a bad convention, because once we got everything organized, I think whoever put the campaign together, not the campaign, but the convention, should have used different colors on the tabs. They should use different color for guests, different color for guests.
Other than the credentialing debacle, the convention went just fine.
I just think it's funny how intense the little things can become.
It was such a little thing.
Oh, I was ready to make that motion, because we went for like half an hour debating about how to say I, you know, with your hand raised and that. Right. Like, I wanted to make a motion that if you're happy and you know it, you clap your hands and just leave it like that. If you're mad and you know it, you stomp your feet, you know?
Right for left foot.
Yeah. Well, that's where we get into it.
When we look at it, we sat and we were going back and forth over credential counting. That's when I walked up. I mean, both microphones were jammed. Everybody's like starting to panic, and I told them to shut it down. Mm-hmm. We need to kick everybody out, come back in. Everybody's like, no, Michael's lost his mind. No. He's been chairman for all of 10 days, and he's kicking everybody out of the room. But once we shut it down, that's the way you go to lunch, come back, we start over.
Hey, that was fine.
We started it, and that was the best.
It's a clean slate at that point. Sure, it takes a little longer to get in, but I think people notice the big difference. And the tone changes. Or there's leadership and there's organization.
You notice there was leadership, and that's what happened.
Right? Yeah.
That goes back to the work they did. I mean, that's what it was about. It was both campaigns were really working hard.
The final outcome of the convention was as good as we could have possibly had. Because you have to understand, from the day before the convention, we basically were confronted saying that nobody was going to be seated. There's going to be a big fight, and everybody's hates
us. The media had control over what was going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, and then at the end of it, we got all business done. We have a good slate, a good mixed slate of delegates and alternates, which is the best you can have for the future of the party, because everybody's included. It's going to inclusive people going to Tampa.
Enough people are mad, right? An equal number of people are mad on all sides. Like,
but
have those guys!
Motivated.
What? Then, oh, I'm sorry.
at the same time, you have the people that were threatening us on Friday congratulating us on Sunday and saying everything's going to work out fine.
On the way out, the lawyers were high-fiving secrets got out.
So at the end of the day, we have a complete slate of people going to Tampa. There's going to be no challenges to that delegation, and we're all going to be a big happy family. Like, that's completely 180 from where we are on Thursday and Friday to where we are on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like we couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah. No, I think the funny thing too is coming in now tonight to this county meeting, the whispering, what's going on? Like, we're Republicans, we follow forward, we go forward. nothing nefarious.
I think some people want us to be just boring and fall asleep, and you know, look, this is about democracy. This is what our country was founded on. You want everybody's passion, you want the voice, you want that heard. And that's where I think we've lost it, and now the Republican Party has it back in the sense of, look, we're still all one big family, but it's within our family.
But that's what you do within family. You call each other, you put each other in check in order to motivate, get people off the couch and do things.
We just need to keep it out of Ralston next time.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's part of the family, isn't he?
Yeah, isn't he in the family too? He's just that guy.
We need to address something now. Anjanette Damon wrote her article and said that Michael was on a GOP podcast and didn't name that GOP
podcast. I didn't mention
that. Did you speak to her?
No, did I mention that on the podcast last week?
No, we didn't get around to it.
So we were walking in because Carl was doing Anjanette's show, and then I said, hey, the GOP podcast.
What?
I'm like, what was that? And then she turns to me and she says, oh, this guy, David Isbell. It's his podcast. I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like,
what's it called?
I was like, really? And everyone started laughing. Then her face gets red. She's like, what's so funny? I'm like, I'm David Isbell. Like, remember the Steve Lark in the morning show? Like, every Friday morning when I called you? Hey, oh, my gosh, I'm embarrassed. That's you.
That's the best thing about it.
I know.
Where are you going? You leave me here alone?
Jeez. He's terrible at that.
Well, you got your backup now.
Yeah,
so she apologized. 6-3 I was like, come on, give us credit where credit's due.
Please.
So I think she kind of took a step back. We're like,
I got like three people to talk.
I don't know. I don't not appreciate being called a GOP podcast because that's mostly what we talk about. But it's not the only thing we talk about. So when you call us a GOP podcast, it's a little insulting.
No, I'd say we're the Beavis and Buttheads.
It was enlightening to find out that so many people listened.
Right.
Because the people I got phone calls about the marijuana question that was asked.
Right.
And, you know, I shared the story about my mother.
Right.
And it was a personal story. It was a personal belief. And, you know, I wasn't speaking on behalf of the party. It was, I saw firsthand what happened to my mother and what she went through with pain and suffering. And, you know, it was great to see that so many people listened to the podcast and got involved.
You know what really killed me?
We should have had a podcast when we were going through Thursday and Friday.
Oh, yeah,
so we should have had a podcast.
That was one of the greatest moments of my life. And we can't really get into the details of it, but it was pretty fun.
It was.
What killed me was they were having a discussion on Ralston with one of the congressional candidates from CD3 who's a Democrat. I used to be the chairman of Las Vegas Normal, and I'm a candidate for CD3. And I'm like, where's my phone call? You know, like, counterpointing that guy.
John might be listening right now, too.
Really?
So ask him. Just ask. John, what's up?
Hey, John, give me a phone call. What's our phone number? So that 1906 number?
Yeah.
I got an email address.
All right.
It's easy to remember. ChrisDyer@ChrisDyer.com.
So you were saying Friday night, then?
Thursday and Friday. It was great. It was very spirited.
Could you have made a podcast out of it? It went a little long, right?
We could have had a whole show.
I don't know why they don't have a reality show going on for the Republican
Party. We had a reality show for this. But you know what? It would show how great we are if we did.
Yeah.
I mean, it really would. It would show the true essence of the passion and, I think, the commitment that the Republicans have to getting Republicans elected.
Well,
it was fun.
Oh, Michael, they need you.
They said that... said as far as what we're talking about, you know, they said, oh, I was a ghost or I was a no-show. No, we were all over that. I mean, the attorneys for both campaigns, Richard, his brother, Eric Carl, we were all over that. That's a fair assessment. And, you know, both camps were sharing in the commitment.
I think that carries over. People who understand how the sausage is made understand that something happened here, something worked out, and it was for the better.
Yeah.
Or
it was great leadership. I can tell you.
Yeah. Like I said, we were going into it being threatened and all that, and then we went out being congratulated.
Inside,
so we must have done something right. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I think we saw the benefits of it, the fruits of it.
Fruits of the labor?
Yeah, at least in the buffet line. Some people made it. All I know is I didn't get tagged in the celebratory breakfast over at the Bellagio or wherever you guys were.
Oh,
that's what it was called, celebratory
Facebook.
Breakfast, victory breakfast.
Breakfast.
I didn't get invited either. So
okay, well, then we're on the same boat here.
This was for an inner circle of Paul Tards. So, yeah, it was.
Oh, I'm
an
outsider.
Yeah, we were outsiders too. So it's that. It was that inner circle.
Yeah.
It was so inner, we were out of it.
All right, thanks for coming out, Chairman.
Where's all the cool kids now? Yeah. It was Leonard Foster talking to Rob Lauer. My speech, I was going to give my my Joe Heck doesn't believe medical marijuana is medicine speech.
Oh, yeah?
To just say, like, man of science.
The good doctor,
the good doctor, the man of science doesn't believe in science. But they put us down to a minute, and of course I had to give time for applause breaks and cheering.
When was the last time Joe Heck went up to you and said he believes in you? Right? Well, guess what, everyone? I believe in all y'all.
Oh, that would have been cute.
You could beat him on that.
Yeah. I was delivering the speech only to the Eagle, so I didn't want to let him know. I believe in him. I do.
Yeah.
I love him. He motivates me.
Yeah, when you say Eagle, we're talking about you guys remember the Eagle on The Muppets?
Yeah.
That guy? He's here.
He's here.
He's in the audience.
Arr, arr, arr.
So we're actually working on our website, Nevada Memes, okay? And he's on there. He's actually top of the list.
He's a meme.
We have that Eagle.
But nobody knows it. We need to get a picture of him.
Yeah. It's silly. That's funny.
This is some girl on the phone talking about her speech to Joe Heck, I think.
Yeah.
She's not a Joe Heck.
Yeah. No, well, so I was just thinking that the G-Men, they must have, like, tried to figure out why it took me so long to get out of work today.
Really?
Yeah.
What G-Men?
The G-Men, the government guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was just, I left work late because I wasn't in a hurry to get here.
Okay.
And I realized I could get here at 7:30
right.
and still be on time.
Absolutely.
Like, everyone's cutting it close. I'm like, that's all it takes? That's all it is?
Yeah.
Like Ferris Bueller gets here the whole nine times, like, speech.
Right.
Like I'm just the cutting it close. Yep.
Yep. Is everybody out of the line? All right. I'm walking in.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Great shot right in there. Yeah.
This is one of your last Central Committee meetings, too, isn't it?
I think so. There's one in June that I might make it to.
But when you're a congressman, though, you're going to come back to these for us, right?
When I can. I guess, like, right now, Joe couldn't be here. I don't know when he was on Ralston, if he recorded it on Sunday or if he was there on Monday, but he's got some vote on the floor. So I imagine if some bill that I really cared about was on the floor, I wouldn't be here for these things. But I'd have my proxy come and tell people.
Yeah.
You know, my wife.
Chris Dyer says, what's up?
Yeah. Chris Dyer says, what's up? He's up there, you know, voting for some Liberty bill and wants to make sure, you know, gets...
But he votes no all the time!
Yeah.
He's not our guy!
Well, no, there's certain bills that, like, Ron Paul puts out sometimes, like, getting marijuana out of the federal government's, you know, hands.
Yeah.
Those sorts of bills. He votes yes on those.
Yeah.
He used to have the Frank Paul bill or Frank Paul Act or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Barney Frank was around. So, yeah. I'll,
back when they were homies.
I would write some bills to, you know, do some things to get us back to liberty and freedom. Yeah. Hey, there's Craig Lake.
Yeah.
Wonder if he listens to the show.
Yeah, I know.
He's rocking one Nike and one big boot.
And a big boot.
Still
oh my gosh! Did you see that photo?
It's Matt Yarborough. What's up, man?
I want to see Dan Schwartz. See if he saw my photo.
Oh,
come
I know,
on,
right?
Was that not hilarious?
That was excellent, dude.
I know I totally misspelled scratching, but I didn't get scratching.
Scratching.
But I didn't care though. That was hilarious, was it not?
What was
epic?
The moose knuckle though.
I don't know. They tweeted out this picture. Like their campaign actually tweeted out this.
Someone
picture.
Took a picture of him and said, "This is a good idea."
Hey, I knew Miles. They actually sent a picture of him, like, laying there, like, his legs open and, like, his fist is right there scratching himself.
Yep.
Like, I think he was watching a baseball game. I think that's what it was.
He was about 3 inches from his crotch.
Yeah. Who sends it out? So I tweeted that out thinking that's enough. But then, like, I go out to lunch and I come back and I'm thinking, no, that photo needs
it needs captions.
Yeah. So, like,
what is he?
Hey, I'm looking at Dave Gibbs in that photo. And he's like, hey, Dave, you know what would be epic? So we tweet out a picture of us scratching ourselves. And then Dave Gibbs says, done. Because he's looking down at his phone.
Yeah.
And then Dan Schwartz is,
he's
epic.
On it. He's on it. Epic.
Yeah, because he came up with a good epic idea. So I'm wondering if he's hearing
something. I see Amy in her purple dress there.
Amy's looking good.
Yeah. She's going to come out here and talk to us, right?
Yeah, I invited her to come out and say hi to us. She's a fan of the podcast, apparently.
Apparently. Right, here she comes.
She was on it.
Here, let me get the door for her.
You get the door for her.
Look at that.
Hi. Madam Chairman, how are you?
Oh, do you get to be called chairman for the rest of your life?
For life.
Now?
Oh, no.
For life?
Say the honorable Amy Tarkanian. I know. So we were just taught. Your husband's running for Congress, right?
Yeah, he is. In fact, he's in Overton right now at a debate that was scheduled the same time as this lovely meeting.
Oh, so Dan Schwartz isn't here?
No,
he's not. I wanted to see if he saw my mentions.
The Trump debate is next week. That's the real debate. That's the one we're super psyched about.
What day is that?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
No, you're not going to find that anywhere else except for the Dave Against the Machine podcast.
Yeah, we're the only ones that know it's on Tuesday.
The only ones that know that it's on Tuesday. We know everybody knows the date. Right. We don't know what day it is.
I'm excited about it. I bought VIP tickets for the... event afterwards for the meet and greet afterwards and early bird seats, so I spent some chunk of change on
question
this
for you. I'm gonna put you on the spot right here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so your husband ran for a state senate once. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
What is the average salary of a state senator, roughly?
Not enough for 4 children.
Okay. So when I see an ad that Danny Tarkanian is trying to get a government-funded job as a state senator, I'm just saying, is he going to be able to provide for Amy Tarkanian off of that salary?
It's a good thing that I like to wear hand-me-downs, and so do my children.
Okay. I'm just saying, if someone is running an ad saying that Danny Tarkanian is trying to get a government-funded job, that's only going to pay him about 10 grand a year. I would say that his motive is a little bit different than getting a government-funded job.
No. Well, and technically, I think he also said it was taxpayer-funded. So
taxpayer-funded.
So
we're
what,
all...
What is he running for, then?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he is!
Oh!
But you know what? He's a politician. They're all hypocrites, and he knows that. So he's just doing his job. That's what his next ad should say. I'm Dan Schwartz, and I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do.
I drove by Decatur and Cheyenne today, and I saw a Tarkanian sign, I saw a Sagaski sign, and Wegner signs. But over by Aliante, all Wegner. Like, you guys got to own that road right now, because the road to the debate next week. So you guys got to...
The real signs are in the local bookstores. Oh. Dan Schwartz is an author of 3 books.
That's right.
So those are the real signs you need to be looking for. And since you don't have any time in, you know, whatsoever, you can, you know, read that.
Why is Dan going after Danny? What is his name? I would go after Ken Wagner. That's the guy that's got the signs, and has won the primary, 4 times in a row. I would go after
Ken
Wagner.
Ken has the signs because you have to remember he's ran for the same position
4 times.
So he's been able to accumulate over the years.
I'm just surprised he can keep cutting the holes out and just make it look so clean now.
When I ran against him, all I kept seeing was signs, and I kept saying, nobody cares about signs. And then when the numbers came out, I went, everybody cares about signs, man. That's all they care about is signs.
Everyone's looking for a sign, especially nowadays.
So then we started, hand making signs for you? Like, we made stencils and started
all those. No, I did the Coroplast, and then I did those in addition to that.
Yeah, all those big signs where houses were getting, their housing developers were getting shut down. You go up there and just put your vinyl right over top of those things. It was beautiful. I would just climb up in there and.
And the best part was, this is on Leonte. So when we got the new casino up there, I remember I was getting a player's card, and I was like, when my brother was getting one, I said, that's David Isbell's brother. Like, isn't he running for judge? Yeah. It works.
That's hilarious.
I know. Okay, so debate tonight then. Who's all going to be... No word? He hasn't texted you yet on it?
No. I've only been watching Dan Schwartz's campaign manager tweeting.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
nice. Wait, is he here? I want to see if he's on my
He's at the...
He's there too.
Yeah, the tweet of your picture.
He's getting all that together. What's up, Tim?
On their podcast.
Yeah. All right, cool. Now we're going to tag you in there.
You're not blocked. No one's blocked. We don't have the technology. We don't have
blocking technology. I wish I knew how. Block his wife because we say things.
Yeah. But she never listens to it.
I know.
Eventually she does, and then she's like, hey. And I'm like, I said that months ago. Do I have to apologize for that?
I'm married to a liberal. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm glad there's a good conservative balance then.
I don't know, but now my daughter's a libertarian at George Washington
University. She's out in D.C.,
A very constitutional attorney that I got he's now working for Judge Michael Cherry as a clerk.
Really?
$60,000. He thinks I walk on water because I got him.
Did we say who we're talking to? It's Christine DeCourt.
No.
I know. We're talking about Lauren. We're talking about
Lauren.
Yeah. Her boyfriend. Who knows where they're going.
She's got a Joe Heck sticker on her.
I don't know.
She's going to punch me right in the jaw here in a second.
She's going to lay me out. For him Monday night.
Can we come?
$800 a ticket.
Tell him I said what's up.
I don't know. It's probably worth it to see red faces.
You pay $100 in his campaign, you're there.
I'll be at
Sandra Marnell's house.
I'll be at work.
Okay. Are you at work?
Yeah, I got
to
work. Sorry.
My
days off are Monday, Tuesday. I can only do politics on Monday, Tuesday.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come. You're always charming.
I probably will. Crack jokes. He'll be like, Dave, what's up? And I'll be like, let's talk about what's up. I don't mind.
You got to tell me because she's in a double gated community and I got to put you under the guard list.
Okay.
Double gated.
Very.
You pass by the troll under the bridge. There's a.
You shall not pass.
Okay. I'll put that all together then.
So you got my email. You want to get? Yeah. I got you on the guard.
Well, I'm in a relationship now, and those cost money, so I have to ask permission apparently now.
One does not simply walk up to a Joe Heck fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie Hamilton.
Yeah, I get some convincing in there, though.
Eddie Hamilton makes me sad because he loves Ron Paul more than I do.
Really?
Yeah. So he talks about when he gets up to do his speeches. I didn't say Ron Paul at all.
We in Arizona, Charlie's there, everyone hated us.
Oh, he hated us.
He was one of those guys.
Yeah. Now he's down with the clowns.
People turn around. But when they're hanging on to coattails and trying to attach themselves to a movement, I got to question it.
Because I love
the people that still hate me. All the people I trust.
Right, yeah. They're consistent, right? If Ron Paul people respect consistency. No, he's not.
No.
Where'd you read that?
No.
You heard that on the radio, didn't you? I heard it on the radio.
His campaign manager got fired today, Jesse Benton.
Did Benton get fired? No, that's great. But, no, all he's saying was they're not going to campaign in primary states that haven't voted yet because they would have to spend tens of millions of dollars. So they're still going forward with their current plan, just not throwing our money away.
It was one of those memos that went out saying, like, the campaign is taking a new strategy or the next phase in the strategy.
Same strategy, just a little cheaper. We're going to ignore the states that haven't voted yet.
The thing is, I think what confuses a lot of of people is the Ron Paul people were like outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's like a structure to how campaign runs.
I know. What is the box?
Put me in it. But what I'm noticing more, it's just like it's being real with people. People feel blocked outside because there's structure to the party and it's never been that fun. But when people say like, hey, I can get on this train at any point, then people get involved.
They don't tell me. I mean, Ron Paul is like fire and police, period.
Right.
And no, what about military guys? Don't you think we need a strong military?
Yes, yeah. But they need to be here.
On bases here.
They need to be on United States soil.
Yeah.
And that's where that's wrong.
The thing is, I'm a Navy veteran, so I was all about force projection through naval force. You know, that learned that history. And, you know, we have aircraft carriers that can move our stuff off of anybody's coast within, you know, hours. They're out there all the time. I was out there for a 6-month cruise. And we were ready to go anywhere we wanted to go. So, I mean, We have that.
We don't need to get the world to leave.
Right. And the thing, too, is like, I think we could have a president that has the right tensions, having us overseas, monitoring in areas that are heated. I can understand that. But the thing is, that person's not going to be president for more than 8 years. You're going to get someone else in there, a Barack Obama or someone else, that has the control over that military that's in that country. It may not be as wise and as just. So the way I see it is have everybody back home, and then we just be smart about where we are when we need to be there.
So you're cool with observers in other countries?
No.
Fascist.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's in our brain, okay? Is what I'm saying. We had spies surrounding, okay?
Right.
But I think with the right intentions, but I just don't think we're there.
But do you guys hate Obama as much as we do?
Passionately. Well, hate, no. I can't say
hate. I don't say hate.
Did you see the Joe R...
Did you see the... But the thing is, the principles are much stronger than that.
Did you see the cold case posse in Arizona that Joe Arpaio has? He has a thing called a cold case posse. It's a bunch of retired police officers that take up cases that citizens there want them to take up. They did a full investigation. The guy is not a legitimate American. So
No. Obama.
So I can't even hate him as president because he's not a legitimate president. They did a real criminal investigation.
Right. And I definitely see it that way. The unfortunate thing is like, my parents...
I just outed myself as a birther on that podcast.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
My parents always loved me, but they were discouraged when I had failing grades. And the thing is, they put that pressure... I'm just saying. But that kind of pressure always pushed me to do better. But it wasn't just, well, you're our son, we love you, even if you get F's. No. I don't get nice things. So the thing is, with Republicans, we can't have failing grades either. We have to constantly have that pressure to let them know that we will support you. So long as you have the strong principles, so long as you push that forward. But far too long, if they put create more government, and we see that with Republicans just as much as Democrats, where they're expanding government, limiting our rights and our freedoms, we see those bills where it's always a slippery slope. Maybe just, maybe right now, but the next person that inherits that office may not be in the same way. And so that's where our movement, it is that liberty movement, where we're loud, we're boisterous, and we're understanding more of how the game is played.
Much more than you guys did in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, I think the silliest thing is how we need to learn to pick our battles, too. And so I get embarrassed by other people that are Ron Paul supporters that get up there and scream that we need to raise our hands with the left hand instead of the right hand for half an hour. Like, it's just as embarrassing for us.
It's the newbies. We're like, oh.
Thank you.
All right, no falling.
That's encouraging to hear.
Right. Well, and I think, that's what we talk about on our podcast. Yeah. We make it.
Yeah. We hate Paul Tarts.
Are you getting tweets?
What's up, Jesse?
I'm just
going to
look at this one. Hey, I don't understand that one.
Do you think Dave Gibbs will be on our
over too loud?
Yeah, me too. I know Laura Myers.
Yeah, Laura Myers. She's the short
show.
Larry Sabato also shared Engel over. Is that in response to someone?
I have no idea.
Oh, they're dumping on Danny on Twitter?
We're talking about the 2010 race.
Y'all should ignore Twitter.
The best Senate race. It's a pass. You saw the line. Was it the line king where they hit him? Forget about it. It's a pass.
Yeah.
Okay. I just hit Amy.
No.
I should run for Congress.
What?
Like they say, Secretary of State, whatever.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
On Facebook. That's right. He's got Fox 5 News on his face.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a constitutional
lawyer. Oh, that jerk.
Just graduated law school. George Washington.
For George Washington. He's going to be defending me soon then. Yes. I like it. I need to be friends with him. I'll just start paying a retainer now. I'm going to be an activist. I'm going to be really loud.
Oh, is that it? Five. Ah! Oh my goodness. There's no one there. There's no one there at the debate. There's five people on stage and five people in the crowd.
And then you guys should do a press release.
Hey, did you know that Dan Schwartz is a constitutionalist?
Dan Schwartz is a constitutionalist.
Yeah, he said it in his commercial. Constitutionalist.
Yeah.
I'm still hung up on the green and yellow logo that looks like Cialis. You think they would have dumped that?
No!
I think it's all part. This is all
part of the plan, huh?
Yeah, because that picture he tweeted out. You saw that picture, right?
He's sitting somewhere.
They sent him this picture. It's a he's sitting there. I'm not trying to be crude or anything.
It's crude.
He's scratching himself. Yeah. He's like at a baseball game. It's what it looks like. But it says, hanging out with Republican women. And
his legs are akimbo.
He's texting on his phone in that picture in the background. So it looks like there's more to it going on there.
Actually, Dave Gibbs loud enough.
Yes, we'll Cialis.
Dave's out of here.
Yeah, he's out of here. He's done with his part of the meeting.
Somebody else. He's eavesdropping.
Yeah, it's drinking time. Beer 30.
Yeah.
We need an intern. We should have drinks.
Yeah. I'll just take my Snapple. She asked me about our Snapple.
Yeah, I was going to say, according to your last podcast, you didn't have Snapple. You were having Red Stripe.
You had Red Stripe. You had Red Stripe. And then they kept filling up my water glass.
Yeah. That was a way better show. I liked drinking and eating.
I'm sure. I just liked eating. Yeah. Everyone's like, stop talking with your mouth full.
Yo.
Have you been to Lake Thai? Down at Fremont Street. Oh, it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I might even see Tony, what's his name? Tony Shaw?
Tony Shea.
Oh,
okay. He hangs out there.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I saw him the other not too long ago.
Yeah, we saw him when we were coming out of Lake Thai. I was like, this is surreal, man. Wow. We're downtown cool.
Like, actually, he was really loud. He's making a pitch. He's like, I don't want to see that hookah lounge with tobacco. I want to see with marijuana. Like, and then I made a joke, we'll talk to Tony Shea about
there he is.
There's Tony Shea right there.
Yeah, guys, if we have all three legalized drugs, don't you think we're gonna have a society that's really gonna
Like we're all alcoholics because alcohol's legal.
Okay, interesting.
I think people that want to
buy
drugs.
No, you're right. Yeah. That's an interesting concept. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
We're not all alcoholics because alcohol's legal.
Yeah. Most of us are on something that's legal anyway, like prescription meds or something like that. So you're not gonna stop people from
And those are more deleterious to the body.
It would be nice to not get arrested or your dog shot or stuff like that.
I know. Hey, you probably just picked the name of our podcast today.
What?
Deleterious.
Deleterious?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Like, you know, corrodes your body, you know,
that's
hurts
you. That's what our podcast
does? No. That was my point. It's saying those prescribed medications are more deleterious.
Right. I always had to use the word
podcast is my deleterious.
Yes. Just think the word delete. It's in there. That's
hepatotoxic. It kills your liver.
Yeah.
Liver killing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what most pharmaceuticals kill your liver.
Oh, okay.
But I think the thing is we haven't explored the opportunities with it. I grew up in a household where drugs were bad. I went to DARE program. Drugs were bad. That was my life. So now I'm scared. I'm going to run away.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was legal, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
Because it's educated. And I think that's where people can really see it. And then you can regulate it. The thing is, drugs will always exist because they're here.
Exactly.
But there's no safe access. This is one thing that I thought was kind of funny today, too. I read this report. A guy who has his card up in Seattle has to grow his own marijuana. He goes to the Home Depot there, picks up potting soil, rattlesnake bites him. The only reason he was bitten by a rattlesnake was he was getting stuff to, because he had to grow his own medicine.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's just funny.
If he not had to do that, then he
would get it. Exactly.
So did he die from the rattlesnake?
No, they said his arm swelled up. But I just think, I know it's a stretch.
You know what'll fix a rattlesnake?
No, he really needs the pot.
No, he really needs it. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Yeah, you know what'll fix that.
Yeah.
Because alcohol is legal, we're not allowed to.
Yeah.
That is profound.
Right. And it's regulated, and we educate your children and say,
exactly.
When you reach this age, this is when you can do this.
Yeah.
Voting on the platform. I see hands in the air.
We can go in there?
Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Do we want to participate?
Wait, Danny's calling.
All right, cool.
Oh, Danny's calling.
Hello.
Hello, Danny.
All right. You want to take a break here and then pick it up back up? Or?
You want to?
Yeah.
You want to see what's going on for a
while? Yeah. All right, so do phase two.
All right, cool.
So we're back here. We have just adjourned after a motion from our chairman to adjourn the meeting at 9 o'clock. These meetings usually go on until 11-ish, right?
They go really long, yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing myself in the next...
I don't know. It's a podcast.
Let's finish this podcast.
That was a quick adjournment.
Okay, this is what happened. There were three motions that came to the floor.
Right.
The first one was really cool because that came from our new state committee woman, Diana Orrock, on...
The UN?
Yeah.
Rule 11 or
Rule
21?
Yeah. Yeah, which is really awesome. I couldn't tell you what it was, how she laid it out perfectly. But everyone, I think, that's one of the things where it's definitely not a Ron Paul thing that came from the floor.
Right.
It was a lot of sensibility.
Yeah.
So with that, we move on to our second motion that was brought to the floor, which was not the Rens Priebus one. What was right before that?
Wasn't the Rince Priebus one? I don't know.
Maybe it was just two motions.
Yeah, maybe it was just two, I think.
Okay, well,
because you were trying to table it. They were trying to table it.
Yeah, that's like
that was the third motion,
oh, yeah,
to table.
Table.
Yeah, whether to table or not. And okay. We did not table it.
We did not table it.
We voted
it. So the motion came from the floor about Rule 11 being broken, about the RNC voting and or supporting Mitt Romney while there's still other horses in this race.
Right.
And so when that came up, and so they wanted to send out a notice saying that we are calling for your resignation,
yeah.
Mr. Priebus.
Yeah,
Reince Priebus. Reince, I don't know how to say it.
Reince?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that came out there, and so it obviously went to a vote. But then the motion was brought on the floor to table this until July, and then...
That failed.
So we took the vote tonight, and it passed by two votes, correct? And so immediately after that, Chairman Gibbs made a motion to adjourn the meeting. They went right to it.
Yeah. So we officially called for Reince to step down, and that was the end of the meeting.
And there were a lot of high fives in between with all that.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was really happy with themselves.
I believe we're all probably looking at the microphone and thank everyone for voting for Liberty. Because if I was just barely on the fence and didn't vote for it, and someone said to me, I am officially off the fence and now hating Ron Paul people for being sore winners, because that's the cool thing to do. Am I right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Spiking
the football. That's what we do now.
Yeah. Probably what we do.
Oh, and we did clarify that Ron did not drop out of the race. Several people had to clarify that because the TV box told some folks that the Ron Paul had dropped out. I saw it. I seen it.
I saw him.
The television said to me. And also the plane crashed on this island, you see? But the island moves around because there's these others.
And there's a smoke monster. I seen it.
I seen it on TV. Don't tell me it didn't happen.
It's on the TV box.
The TV box told me. What do you mean they're all dead?
What?
They're all polar bears. They can't be dead. The TV told me. So anyway, I think that was the discussion that came on the floor, the back and forth. So I don't. Did we solve the mystery? Did Ron Paul drop out?
Yeah, we solved the mystery. Anybody?
We solved the mystery.
Anybody that heard that on the news or on the radio? Like I was driving the radio, and the guy was just like, "And a side note on politics, Ron Paul has dropped out." And I was like, "What?" And I went right to my internets, and I went, "Oh, you know, let me check my emails first and see if Ron communicated with me, because he always checks with me before he does anything
he does
like this."
He's like,
so I checked. He did not drop out, and
right.
he told
fact,
me as
he
much.
Asked me for money.
Yeah.
He's like, "Yo, Dad, fuck it up."
He's like, "Keep it
but
coming."
Not in the same email.
Not in the same email, separate.
Right.
Yeah.
So things have been moving around in the campaign, apparently.
But that's what you do. It's the same way that you would check in with your spouse or something, like, "Hey, honey, I'm going to do something different today."
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, like, I'm leaving you and the kids. It just means I'm going to buy my breakfast today.
Yeah. We're doing things different.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask us. He told us. It's fine.
Bye, Amy.
Looking Bye, good. Amy.
As usual. Hey, thanks for taking a picture with me.
Aw.
I feel appreciated.
Yep.
Yeah, you can see it. That's
it's on
right,
the Twitter.
On Twitter, at DaveATM.
Or at Juggalo Patriot. Are we signing off already?
No, we're not signing off.
Oh, I'm
saying,
we got time.
We're only 4 minutes back into this thing. World's shortest
Where's
podcast.
Eddie Hamilton?
We're doing our podcast now. You realize that, right? Yeah, we got Sarah Colkin with us.
There's no Thai food here. Is there a Thai food place here?
No.
Oh, we're being kicked out. All right, cool.
All right.
I've met you before.
Absolutely, yeah. We meet all the time. I'm at these meetings every 2 months.
Is...
Chris Dyer.
Oh, you're Chris Dyer.
I am Chris Dyer.
Let me voice
something to you, Chris.
Sure.
I thought what you did up at the microphone tonight was shoddy, terrible, really ridiculous.
I think that what Joe Heck does in Washington is shoddy, terrible, and really ridiculous.
Joe Heck, but don't come to the Republican Party where you're asking the support of everybody and bash Republicans.
So we can't show contrast between candidates in front of the Republican Party?
But not by bashing him.
How was I bashing him?
I thought what you did was just absolutely, totally out of order.
Okay, I didn't bash him in any way. All I did was speak the truth. We have video of it, and we'll post it online, and people can judge for themselves. But I didn't bash him. I spoke the truth.
Well, he does vote 93% of the time
with the money. Always with the money.
It was so far.
CISPA, NDAA, Patriot Act, all of that stuff is good. Of course he is. Of course he is. I don't have any money.
The thing is, we need to be the best Republicans we can.
If Joe can't handle a little competition in the primary, then he's not going to be able to handle any competition in the regular election, the general election.
I thought it was shameless.
Okay, that's fine. I think what Joe Heck does is shameless. How much time do we have to wind this up?
We got 15 more minutes.
We did like 30 minutes before, and where are you guys going to be drinking?
I think just in here.
I will be in there in just a minute. Save me a seat.
All right, bye.
Dude, that was awesome.
Thank you for telling me I can't go, because I don't want to go.
I know you don't.
I know.
Yeah, and then I'm giving you an out. I'm like, no, David can't go.
Yeah. I like that.
Next week, we're going to be recording this at the Trump debate. How are we going to do this? Are you going to stay for the after party?
Because
I'm staying for the after party.
I guess I have to.
I think you need to pay your $25.
I almost want to bring the equipment and just set up a little...
A table. That's the thing, dude. Well, we could have all the candidates on there.
Let's talk to our girls.
Where is she?
I don't know.
All right, if they come out while we're doing the podcast, then we'll grab...
They're funneling everyone out in one direction.
Snake Man's out, so they'll be leaving soon. We'll grab Jerry Taylor Swade and ask her if we can set up a table at the thing since we bought tickets. Well, she might want us to pay more for a table, but we just want to interview the candidates, not really do anything on our own. Like, it's not about my campaign or anything at that thing.
Maybe it's just, I just like the way we're doing it right now.
Yeah, this is kind of sweet because people don't even know we're podcasting. That lady that was helping me trash Joe Heck didn't even know we were podcasting.
Okay, so
we need to talk to them.
Yeah, but next week, this is what we will be doing next week. We have the Trump debate.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, get over here real quick. Hey, we got Nick off. Sit in the middle. Sit in the middle here. Sit in the middle here.
My goodness, we're radio show.
You've listened to our podcast. You've listened to our podcast, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. What was the motion? What were the two critical motions on the floor?
It was during resolutions, and the first one was something that Diana Orrock had raised, our new National Committee woman-elect, basically to condemn Agenda 21, the UN enviro-fascist world government plan. That passed overwhelmingly. And then we moved into a very controversial resolution, at least as far as establishment Republicans are concerned, to call out the RNC and Reince Priebus, the chairman of the National Party, for his blatant violation of RNC Rule 11A, which very clearly says that in order for the National Party to make a pre-primary endorsement of any candidate, they have to receive the consent of all the RNC members in the state involved. Now, because we're talking about a presidential race that, of course, involves all 50 states, meaning that in order to make a pre-primary presidential endorsement, all three national committee members from all 50 states would have had to have consented to do that. And that never happened, and they know that never happened. And so Reince Priebus, when on April 25th, he declared Mitt Romney the presumptive nominee of the party and began actually merging the Romney campaign into the RNC infrastructure. And he actually said this is more than an endorsement, this is a complete merger. That was a blatant violation of RNC Rule 11A. And the National Party was basically scared of being called out on this. And that's why I'm very glad that it passed tonight, and it's going to go out as a national press release. So hopefully we can keep this issue going. I don't want to let it go. These guys need to be called out on this, especially when, you know, a lot of us, especially us Ron Paul guys, you know, we recognize that throughout this entire campaign, the RNC and the establishment have been setting up a rigged game to favor Mitt Romney. And so I'm very, very glad that we're calling them out on it, and we're doing it through a formal party structure, through the largest county party in the state of Nevada. We're like the 15th largest county in the country, and so this is very significant tonight.
Yeah.
Your phone's ringing.
I can tell that, yes. Nice. You're sitting so close.
So with this, though, this is where I feel bad, is the way we work a lot of these issues when they come out. We become sore winners. Now, we barely passed this. It was by 2 votes, right?
Well, I don't want to get a little
Let's just lay as we see it, as it was.
As the count was announced, it was a two-vote victory.
Right.
If you look at a visual of the room when we did the hand vote, I think it was pretty clearly different.
Isn't that funny that one of the counters came by and was just flashing 2 votes to us?
Yeah.
Two votes. You won by 2 votes.
Yeah.
It was Robert. Sullivan.
It was that kind.
My partner.
Now, my concern is much too often within our activities here, we get heated. We get... the level of enthusiasm is to the point where we're not pulling people over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're on the e-board here. Do you feel much the same? Are you seeing that?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the key things that I think we need to work on is building bridges, but we also don't want to do that at the expense of standing up for the things that need to happen.
Okay, excellent.
And I think a lot of the Tea Party folks who are not Ron Paul supporters, but are close, you know, and they share similar values. Those are the kind of people that we really have the best chance to reach out to. The ultra establishment types that are just totally antithetical to the principles of liberty. Maybe they'll come around, but I mean, I don't really see a lot of use in trying to reach out to those people. When an economic collapse hits or something, then they'll wake up.
Okay, so a resolution like this, though, how can that help the Republican Party?
Well, it can help the party because right now what we have is a situation where the National Party is clearly violating the rules. And if you follow this stuff, like these conventions, we see instances of establishment Republicans violating the rules all the time, not taking points of order from the floor, turning off the microphones so people can't speak. I mean, we all know what happened here in Nevada in 2008, and that's just a classic example. And to the extent that we let that go, we lose our credibility as a party. It's essential for us to make sure that we're following our own rules, or else how are we supposed to ask people to go elect Republican candidates if the party leadership isn't even trustworthy, you know?
Yeah, so. That's how I see it, too. It's like we got to make a solid house here in order to invite people in, and knowing that we ourselves cannot build ourselves to a level of pride where we are then breaking the rules if we're laying down the rules. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree completely.
All right, cool.
I think this is going to be our most listened to podcast ever. So many people have, like, seen us doing it.
Oh, yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, we'll be putting it out there, too.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is I'm going to find the cool music for this stuff.
Yeah. Find all the best music.
Yeah, okay. So where do we go from here?
I don't know. I can walk over there and talk to Dave. Excuse me.
Wow, you just swore on our thing?
I did. I swore on the podcast.
That's all right. I'm going to have to listen to this whole thing.
I know.
As I edit it, so.
Well, it's right at the end, so go right towards the end. That's where I felt like
you're all right. All right, cool. Well, let's tag this out then.
All right, let's do it.
I'm at Juggalo Patriot.
And then I'm at Dave ATM on Twitter. Nick, you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter, but
people find you.
If you want to send me an email, just go to clarkgop.org, and my my party email address is listed there on the website. So.
Nice. All right, cool.
Nick Gosling, e-board.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's right, and you can download this podcast on iTunes. I don't think a lot of people know that.
No, yeah.
When you get on iTunes, guys, go to DATM. Not down at the Mac.
Not down at the Mac.
But you got Dave Against the Machine. You can subscribe there and get this on your phone and your devices every week. And then also just go to DaveAgainstTheMachine.com. Guys, next week we're having an epic podcast.
Going to the candidates debate.
And Dave's got a big announcement. All right. Bye.
Bye. Find our contrast, what is free. Your mind is in the space. The time when it is hard to breathe. see, take memory, buried in sand.